beloved, if you'll be so kind to turn in that good old sword of yours, that old King James Bible, let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. I won't make you stand tonight. Amen. But just follow along in your copy of the Word of God. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 5. If you have your place there, please say amen. All right, very good. Just follow along with me in the Bible. Psalm 78, beginning with verse 5. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Now I want you to notice that. The prerogative and the importance of the family making known the word of God to their children. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit, now watch it, was not steadfast with God. The sermon tonight is entitled, Some Generational Gaps. Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for these that are gathered in your house tonight in the midweek worship service to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, we know some are providentially hindered, some are sick, some are working. But Lord, we know there's equally a lot out there tonight that deliberately chose not to come because they wanted to do something else. Lord, I pray for these, Lord, that they may be steadfast with you. Lord, that I am not throwing a stone against them, Lord, but rather your word is here to command us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why, Father? Because we know in your word that there's a generational gap. And so, Lord, tonight, I pray that you'll put your words in my mouth and have me to speak. May I decrease and you increase. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This handout you got tonight for Q&A, on the back of that is another chart you can see that will pertain to this message. Now, I'm not going to go over all that. I just give that to you for your information. Because some of you may have heard of, say, the Greatest Generation. You've heard of them before. My grandpa was one of the Greatest Generation, J.C. Lovelace. These are generally the ones who will have fought during World War II. But also in that number would be the Silent Generation, those born 1928 to 1945. Some of those would be old enough, a few of them, to fight in World War II. And then, of course, after World War II, you have the famous, which a lot of you in here are, the Baby Boomer Generation. Anyone born from, say, 1946 to 1964. Yes. The Baby Boomer Generation, or the Baby Boom Generation. And then you've got Generation X, born from 1965 to 1980. And then you've got other people out there that are going to kind of slice and dice these other terms, and that might be, say, the generation, the Y generation, which some of them will classify my generation, 1981 to 1997, and then 98 on would be the millennial generation. Of course, sometimes they clump them in together, and they make me a millennial. I don't think myself as a millennial. I actually identify sometimes more with Generation X and actually the Greatest Generation, by the way my mentality is sometimes. But I just included that so you might get some understanding out of that, because not everybody agrees on what generation is which. But when we think about generation, the Bible uses the word generation in different ways. Normally, the word generation refers to all the people living at the same time, kind of like the same way we speak of Generation X or the Millennial Generation or the Greatest Generation, whatever. Normally in the Bible, however, a generation would be around 40 years. Some say 30, some even say 80 years. One generation we have to understand, raises the next. However, in some biblical context, a generation can refer to a longer age or a group of people spanning a longer period of time, such as Noah's generation. They obviously lived longer. But what about this thing about a generational gap? Well, to define a generational gap, it's a difference of opinion between one generation and another generation regarding beliefs, politics, or values. In today's usage, generation gap or generational gap often refer to a perceived gap between younger people and either their parents or their grandparents. One of the things you could probably do is say, get a phone. And that's probably one of the big areas where the younger people might look at the older people and say, you have no clue what you're doing. There's a generational gap, they would say. But I believe that in the Bible, we are shown some generational gaps, and I believe that we are shown also how to close those generational gaps. Folks, as we get closer and closer to April, and for me personally, April 18th, when I celebrate 14 years here as pastor, I can be honest right now, I can tell you that if I were to go back 14 years and to pick the people that were with me then and look tonight, I'd have nobody here. 14 years ago, a lot of times it would be me and Brother Clarence Robin here on Wednesday night. So you might look around and say, my God, where is everybody? I look around and say, thank God for the bodies we have. Because I've seen it when it's been me and one other person on Wednesday night. So thank God for y'all. And those that normally would be with us but aren't. I also look, guys, and as a pastor in today's age, I look and I see the upcoming generation. I also see the generation that has went before. Several generations. I see the old white heads, I see the bald heads, I see the middle-aged, I see the young, I see Rahab, the little one there. I see the millennials, I see the Generation Xers, I see the Generation Ys, I see the baby boomers. And I'm telling you folks, every preacher that I've talked to from here to California, they all say the same thing, the men of God that are out there preaching and teaching God's word. They all say that churches are falling off. Why? Because there's a generational gap that is a biblical generational gap, I'm sorry to say. I've even seen folks, and I dare not name names because that's not my job, but I've even seen pictures online during the time that we should be in church, they're not in church. And I have to talk to my wife and I say, honey, I don't understand why in the name of God in heaven, a Christian, a supposedly devout Christian, would choose to keep their children out of church. And yet, guys, it happens. Every Wednesday, and it happens every Sunday morning, and it happens every Sunday night. People will say, don't throw people under a bus. I'm not trying to throw people under a bus. I'm here as a messenger of God to warn family, to warn people. People today have it in their mind that church is an option. The Bible says otherwise, that we are not to forsake ourselves from assembling together. We live in a day and age when we are governed by feelings and by what we desire rather than what the sovereign God of heaven and earth has decreed inside of his word that we are and ought to do. The Bible there in Psalm 78 plainly tells us that it is the former generation that breeds the next generation. It is on their shoulder to raise and train and nurture the coming generation in the fear and admonition of the Word of God.
Amen.
You can take your children to Carowinds. You can take them fishing. You can take them on a picnic. You can spend time with them. But I'll tell you now, it is not going to be the pizza parties they had. It's not going to be the walks in the park that they had. It isn't going to be the movies that they saw that's going to get them through the tough parts in their life. It is going to be where their feet and their heart were grounded in the Word of God. Because I guarantee you, as it gets worser and worser and worser in coming days, and it is going to get worse, guys, mark it down. It's going to get worse and worse and worse for the rising generations, that these rising generations like Rahab, and even the younger generation I can look at from my vantage point, when I look at Lisa, I look at Derek, I look at Greg. Heather's not in there, she's with me. Anyway, sink or swim. I look at them, I see they're going to have a tough time in the rising days and months and years and decades to come. As long as God tarries, and what we all need, whether we've got no hair, gray hair, black hair, or young hair, or fuzzy hair. However, what we all need is an anchor. What we all need is the solid rock. And what too many times in our churches today, guys, they're not getting that nurturing and that meat of the Word of God that we need to anchor ourselves down so that we don't float away. Because all of our worlds are going to be turned upside down one of these days. And some of your worlds have already been turned that way. And you know as well as I do, it wasn't the fun times you had. It wasn't all these other things that came and gone. It was your anchor in Jesus and His Word that held you secure. You've got to have it, guys. That's what He says, that the generation to come might know them. What? The Word of God. Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Guys, they can't declare to their children what they haven't been taught, what they don't know. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Guys, we're seeing children in our own backyard that are being raised in this county that have never darkened the door of a church. Never. But yet, there are families that have been raised. Their parents were raised in church. They went to church. But yet now they care not a fig about the Word of God or the people of God. But there will come a day when death will knock on their door. When cancer will smite them. When the rug will be pulled out from under their feet. And they will suddenly look to the altar and to the rock that's always been there waiting for them. Oh, Christian, come home. I want to give you four gaps tonight. A Bible gap, an irreverent gap, a forgetful gap, and a closed gap. I want to give you three things out there that we see around us, and a fourth way of how we can help close the gap. Number one, a Bible gap. What is that? Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure word, as silver tried in a furnace of earth purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That tells me right there that God has promised in a generation to preserve His Word. And He said that He would preserve that Word of God from that generation forward forever. That tells me what right there? That as I see the rising generation, I see a group of people out there, of young people, that largely are chucking the King James Bible. The preserved Word of God. And as I see that begin to happening, as many people out there today and many modern churches around, even in this county, don't use the King James Bible anymore, what do I see? I see a people groping and trying to find, like Pontius Pilate, to ask what is truth. People today, guys, they have it inside their mind that truth is flexible. That it varies. Whatever you think is right, well, that's fine for you. I mean, talk to somebody out there about religion. They'll say, well, as long as you believe in it, that's fine. No, it isn't. There's a right and there's a wrong. It's just like one of my acquaintances that I know, they're in there talking about, well, there were even gays back in the Bible times. Of course there were. And God called them sodomites. And He said that that was an abomination in His sight. There is a Bible gap out there, guys, in the generation. They don't understand many times that God promised to preserve His Word from that generation forever. You try to talk to people about how the King James Bible is the Word of God. They look at you like you're a dummy. And they say, well, they've retranslated it better to make it more understandable. But my whole argument to them has been, no, this is not about making it easier to understand. It is all about one thing, preservation. And God promised to preserve His Word. That's why I'm just bold enough to say that if there is a mistake in the King James Bible that can be proven, then I'm going to quit Christianity altogether. I'll resign the church and leave. Because why? God promised to preserve His Word. If He can't preserve His Word, why in the world do you think He's going to preserve your soul from going from here to heaven? If you can't trust God's promise there, why can you trust Him in all of His other promises? If God could break one promise in His Word, then you might as well just throw the whole thing away and just quit. Well, what's happened is, God, too many people have set the Bible aside. And you look at it, guys, in our country, it really began inside of America when people began to really, in a mass public movement, began to set aside the Bible. You can mark it down in the mid-40s. Around World War II, that's when a lot of people started laying aside the Bible and getting the Revised Standard Version. And at that time, we still had a pretty much biblical foundation inside of the country. But as the Bible kept getting set aside, and as more people and more children began to be raised, and church wasn't all that important, then you began to see what? The fruits of the 50s? The rock and roll movement? And then the 1960s, and what began to happen? The hippie countercultural revolution began to occur inside of our country. That whatever mom and dad or grandma and grandpa believed, which was largely based on the Bible, they throw it out the window. That's when everything that mattered of rhyme and reason began to be tossed outside, and then the drug culture began to rise. And everything began to fall apart. When one woman, Madeline Mary O'Hare, stood up and said, well, prayer isn't right inside the school. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they took prayer out of school. And then chapel, they took chapel out of school. In the 1960s. And so now inside the public square, you begin to see the removal of that. And that's where you begin to see, number two, an irreverent gap. When you say, what's that? Proverbs 30, verses 11 and 12. There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. God, that's what we begin to see. The Bible says to what? Honor your father and your mother. The Bible tells us that we are to be purged from our iniquities and our sins. The Bible tells us that we are not clean and pure in our own eyes, but that in our eyes we are what? Our righteousness is a filthy rag. But yet if you remove the standard of the Bible, then you're going to have an irreverent generation. A generation that will not honor their parents, and they will not honor the Word of God. And if you have that, then that's going to directly lead to number three, a forgetful gap. Judges 2, verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, watch it, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel. Is it then any wonder that Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Shall He find a generation, a multitude of people out there that have faith in Him? Obviously not. But He'll find a remnant. And guys, that's what we're seeing. We are seeing before our very eyes the forgetful gap right now before our eyes. You are seeing a generation that is being raised right now that does not know God in this country, in this land. Guys, we live in the Bible Belt. They had a survey years ago that asked people, adults, in all the regions of America, did they believe in Jesus Christ? They went up to the Northeast into what we call Yankee Land. You know, New York and Pennsylvania and all Maine and all them guys up there in Massachusetts. And 10% of people in that region said, adults, they believe in Jesus. They went out to the coast, and I believe it was about 17 or 18%. And that's, you know, Colorado and New Mexico and Arizona and Montana, all the way over to the crazies, you know. Oregon, Washington, Oregon, and California. There you go, the left coast. I heard one man say Fruit Loopville, but anyway, not all of them out there. But that whole swath of people, they said about 17-18%. I think it was 18%. And then they went up to the Midwest, you know, like Iowa and Ohio and all them, Michigan and Minnesota and all them guys up there. And they said about 22% of adults said they believe in Jesus. And then they came to Dixieland, the former Confederacy. And they asked adults down here, 50% of adults said they believe in Jesus. But yet, even after that, that was, I think, 2007 or 08, somewhere around there. Now, guys, we see we've been that far removed from that time, and we already see that we have dropped down here one percentage point here inside the South. And what does that tell us? That tells us that we are more adept and more good at trying to tell children how to work the internet, how to tell children what food groups to eat or not to eat, or what baseball team to follow, or what football team to cheer for, rather than telling them about Jesus and about the true faith that really is. That's what life's all about. Guys, in a million years into eternity, nobody's going to care about our history. Nobody's going to care about our sports team. Nobody's going to care about anything that we think pretty much is important today. The things that are done for Christ are the things that are going to last for all eternity. So whatever you're involved in, make sure Jesus is somewhere in it so that it will last. But God promised to preserve His Word even for those generations that would forget Him, even for those generations that would be irreverent toward their parents and toward those in authority. God, I tell you, I have never seen it in my day when I have seen children that will backsass and speak ill of their parent, that will physically hit their parent, that now, I mean, you hear almost all the time of children who will murder their parents in their own bed. And why is it? They blame guns. You blame guns all you want to, but the guns ain't the problem. In your generation, you can remember, I know, going to high school and seeing loaded shotguns in the back pickup truck all throughout the South, and you didn't have all this mess going on. Why does it happen? Because of the rise of sin. What does the Bible tell us? He says, because the love of many shall grow cold, right? And what will happen? Iniquity will abound. Why does the love grow cold? Because people don't love as God says anymore. We're too self-centered and selfish in our lives. We're looking at ourselves. We're looking at our own cliques and little things rather than looking at God's family. My, my. Well, how do we close this gap then, guys? That's my fourth and final point, a closed gap. 1 Peter 2:9. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What does that tell me? That tells me that I, as a child of God, regardless of my physical age, regardless of what generation I'm with, I have been born into a new family, the family of God. Now I need to put that family first, and the head of that family, who's the daddy, by the way, God is not effeminate. God is in charge. He's the Heavenly Father, and He wears the pants in the family. And so it is that I need to put that family first, and the head of that family is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Godhead Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'm to put Him first, and His family, the family of God, first priority in my life. Isn't that what Jesus says? He talks about he that does not hate his father and his mother is not worthy of me. People say, does that mean I'm really supposed to hate my parents? No, what he's telling us rather is to not let family become a stumbling block to following Him. Because He warns us that even members of your own family will become your own enemies. Think about the Muslims out there that are trying to, you know, serve the Lord, and they're saved. And what does their family do? Their family wants to murder them now because they've renounced Islam. But all that person wants to do is lead their family to the one true God and see them saved. And even now, inside of our own families here, inside of America, all throughout the country, you've got parents now that are atheists. Because mom and dad decided spanking and discipline wasn't right because Dr. Spock said so. Dr. Spock can get on the Enterprise and fly away with Captain Kirk for all I care. I know it's the wrong Spock, but still, that's what I think about it. He can just go fly away. I don't care what the man says. I care what God said. Amen. And inside of his word, he teaches us that if we withhold the rod of discipline, then your child will hate you. There must be a lot of parents out there that hate their children because that's what he also intimates there, that if you withhold discipline from your child, you hate your child. There's a lot of parents in that hate their children, but yet they say they love them. You know what it is? It's just a sign and a mark of the forgetful gap, of the irreverent gap, of the Bible gap, because they're throwing the Bible out. To close that gap, guys, we've got to seize and lay hold of the chosen generation. Regardless of how old or how young you are, if you're born again, you're now part of a new generation, the chosen generation. And you, God wants to use to go show the forgetful gap that there is a God. He wants to use you as part of the chosen gap, the chosen generation, to help close the gap, to show the irreverent gap, how to honor your father and your mother. He wants to use you as part of the chosen generation to show these out there that threw the Bible away how the word is God's word and how we can trust it and lay hold to it. And it will be an anchor for our souls no matter what storm we go through. That God is still on the throne, ruling and reigning. And he always has been, and he always will be. Amen. But yes, God, there's some generational gaps out there, and as I look around, I quiver to think that so many out there, they have no idea in the inkling of their heart and in their mind that God's going to hold them personally accountable for their children and how they have or how they haven't raised them. Right. So many people today, they think, well, I went out and I had fun. Now she's pregnant. I guess we'll do an abortion. Praise God for the state of Mississippi trying to preserve all life in the womb. I know the feds are going to jump all over them. Well, if I had my say and if I was the governor of that state, I'd tell the feds where to go. And I'd declare our independence because life is precious in the sight of God. And it's time for us as believers in Jesus Christ to stand for God, because we have to be that chosen generation to sing the praises of God, to let those heathen out there and those generational gaps hear that there is still a God in heaven who reigns and that there still is a God at work inside of his church. We still believe. Guys, I can't tell you how many times people have told me through the year, they've told Brian about, you ain't got but 12-5 people there, just shut the door. I keep telling them no, because God still has a plan and a purpose for Danieltown Baptist Church still to accomplish for his kingdom's work. Amen. That's what we're going to keep doing. And I've already told my wife, and I've told y'all back in 04, and I'll tell you yet again, I know when it's my time to leave here. When nobody else wants to learn the word of God and nobody cares, that's when God's telling me it's time to pack my bags and go. And so far, I don't see that. I pray I'll never see that. Because my heart's here. God ain't done here, guy. Don't be like me sometimes and look over there and sigh. That's just the devil trying to get you and me both down. Look our eyes unto Jesus and remember, you're part of the chosen generation. So let's stand out, beat our chest, and say, rawr, for Jesus' sake, you know? All right. Let's bow our heads.